3 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, and it is our pleasure to welcome back to the show the managing partner of the Phoenix Suns, Robert Server, who joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good afternoon, Robert. Thanks for taking some time off to join us. We appreciate it.
Sure, you're welcome. Good to be with you.
Much different summer than previous summers, huh? You were a little busy at the arena most nights.
Yeah, I sure was, and I was trying to be as busy for as long as possible.
How satisfying was this season to you personally, having been there with the early success with Steve Nash and Amari and Sean, and then the struggles for 10 years of not making the playoffs, and then to have this season, you know, fall in your lap the way it did? How satisfying was it?
Well, there's a lot to that question. You know, it a little bit mixed, surprisingly. You know, on the plus side, I think I was excited that it meant so much to the Phoenix community in the Valley for our success. I thought the NBA Finals with, you know, a billion people around 230 countries paying attention to what we were doing was a great opportunity to introduce you know, our culture and our team and our city to all those potential fans. I really took pleasure in seeing the popularity of our franchise throughout the world. I mean, a lot of fans were just attracted. I was getting feedback from Fanatics and some of the other organizations that our merchandise sales were record-breaking during the playoffs. And, you know, I don't know if that's kind of the way the team was built, or fans rooting for Devin, fans rooting for Chris at this stage in his career, or, you know, Monty's humbleness and story, the way we put our team together, whatever. But just seeing everybody around the world kind of embrace our team and root for Phoenix, seeing the tens of thousands of fans show up at the airport when we'd land coming home from a playoff series was pretty cool. So there was a lot to be excited about, but you know, my only problem, and it's a big problem with the season, was, you know, we didn't win our last game. And, you know, as you guys know, I've been to the Western Conference Finals 4 times now since I've owned the team. And the one thing I've learned about the playoffs is to be fully satisfied, you have to win your last game. And anyone that works with me or for me knows that, you know, I'm not easily satisfied. I'm demanding. And they'll likely tell you that. And, you know, I'm demanding of myself. So, you know, I say all this because, you know, I'm not mad at anybody or disappointed at anyone. In particular, team sports are, you know, after all, team sports, and you win or lose together. So, you know, when I step back objectively, I'm very excited. But, you know, when you don't win that last game, you just have a bitter feel. And the longer you play in the playoffs and don't win the last game, the more bitter it is. So, you know, I promise everybody we're going to demand excellence and continue to try to improve and, you know, push for an NBA championship and try to win that last game together.
Yeah, we get asked all the time, you know, what, you know, rate it 1 to 10. Was this how successful was this season? I mean, I gave it a 10. But, you know, I mean, I understand some people want to give it an 8 or a 9 because the ultimate goal of winning a championship didn't happen. But you do overall look at this as a huge success, correct?
I do, for sure. Yeah, I mean, in so many different ways. And you know, as I said, the way the community and our fans embraced us and the franchise and the attention it brought to the community. And, you know, I'm also would say it was a big success in what we did with our Verizon training facility and with the transformation of the arena and just the overall entertainment we provided our fans. And, you know, I think this season will have a lasting and meaningful relationship, you know, that enhances we have with the community and with our fans. And, you know, it took a lot of work and commitment from a lot of people to make that happen. So I am appreciative for sure.
Does there come a point in time, we're chatting with Robert Server here on the Burns and Gambo show. Does there come a point in time where, I don't want to say you accept what happened in the NBA Finals, because I find that I'm exactly the same way. I'm having a hard time separating the season and that success from the NBA Finals and the series and everything that happened in those 6 games. Do you believe you will come to a point where you'll be at ease with what happened in the NBA Finals, that you'll be able to look back on the season and not reflect on how upset you might be about how it all ended, or will that never come to pass?
No, that'll never come to pass.
And that's tough, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's just, you know, we won 14 games and we needed to win 16. So, you know, as I said, there's so much I can be proud of and excited about. You know, our employees, our marketing partners, our players, our coaching, and, you know, everybody, you know, did just an outstanding job. And, you know, as I said, at the same time, there's a lot of pride in the success that they had. And it made the experience really fun. And there was a lot of very high moments. But, you know, when you get that far and you can't win that last game, it is something that probably will never go away.
On the day that the Suns acquired Chris Paul, there was that kind of grainy footage that made its way around of Devin Booker and Chris Paul. I believe it was at your old house, if I'm not mistaken. And they were working out together. Take me back to that day when the acquisition is made. In your mind, what's the ceiling? Are you thinking we are going to contend for an NBA championship this year? We are a this seed, we are a that seed. What was kind of going through your mind is what was possible on that day you acquired Chris Paul?
I mean, honestly, I would say no. You know, I wasn't thinking we were going to compete for an NBA championship, but I was thinking we take a big step forward. And then I thought we'd definitely be a playoff team, and I thought we could be very competitive. And then Monty said, you know, his aspirations for us to be a top four team in the West. And in my own mind, I said, you know, that's great because it's a realistic goal, but it's aggressive. So that's kind of where my head was. But then, you know, we started winning a lot of basketball games, and you know, of course, my mind changed. And then you get rolling in the playoffs and, you know, have success with the teams we get. And the farther you go, you know, you can't help yourself. You just get greedier.
Yeah, it's true.
you know, there's nothing you can do about it. And it's like, for me, you know, I would say like for our players, it's kind of like, you know, when the shark smells some blood in the water.
Yeah,
all of a sudden he gets pretty excited and he wants to go after it. And I think our players smelt blood in the water this year. And I think that experience that they had is going to carry us on into this next season, hopefully, and be a big motivator for continued success.
Was there a point this season where you said to your wife or your kids or somebody, we got a shot? Like we got a shot to win this whole thing. Did that happen?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I would say before the playoffs started, I really thought we had a legitimate chance. I remember a conversation with Jerry Colangelo when we were discussing it, and he was saying, hey, you know, you guys got as good a chance as anybody in this league right now. And I remember kind of thinking that too. And then, you know, we got the draw of the Lakers, you know, first round, and you know, some people were like, oh, man, that's no good. But I was thinking, you know, that's pretty good because, listen, if we can beat them, then our team will have confidence we can beat anybody. And that's going to pay dividends throughout the playoffs. So, you know, I would say towards the end of the season, I really, you know, felt that we had a legitimate shot. I didn't say to myself, hey, we're going to win this thing. But I thought to myself, we have good of a chance as anybody. We were playing really good in beating good teams. If anything, our Achilles heel was against the teams we should have beat that we didn't. But against really good teams, we played really well. And that's what you have to do in the playoffs.
Was there ever a moment during the playoffs where you thought to yourself, we're going to win this thing. We're going to be the champions. We're going to win this. I feel it.
I know it. Yeah, a few times where I thought, you know, it looks maybe like the stars are aligning and we're playing so well. And, you know, I mean, after we went through Denver pretty good and, you know, I kind of thought so. And then the Clippers, and then obviously after we won the first two at home, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, we were so good at home and really having that home court advantage for us, I thought was a big plus.
Yeah,
I thought that paid a lot of dividends. And so, you know, that's why I gave a lot of credit to all the players on the team, even those that didn't play as much in the playoffs, because I thought the seeding really helped us.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Robert Sarver, who's kind enough to join us here for a couple of segments on the Burns and Gambo show. We're looking back in the first segment. We look ahead in the next segment. And when we come back with Robert, the season was obviously a success, but not completely satisfying. There are things to be done. What are the future plans for the Suns in trying to get back to where they just were a week ago? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show. Suns managing partner Robert Sarver, kind enough to join us for not one, but two segments here on the Burns and Gambo show. 1 week and 1 day after the Suns season ended with a Game 6 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. Devin Booker showed very well last night in the Olympics and will continue to do so, no doubt. But our conversation now moves towards the future of the Phoenix Suns and what's going to be a very, very quick and action-packed offseason for the Phoenix Suns, and Robert Sarver kind enough to join us for another segment.
Robert, I know you've always been committed to winning, and I think you've got an opportunity here over these next couple of years to bring a championship to Phoenix. You were on with us May 17th, and I know you've paid the tax before. Three times, I believe, you've had to pay the tax. But on May 17th, you talked about how, you know, thanked the city and the fans for the new arena and the facilities, and said that ownership is committed for sure to keeping this team intact and spending the money to bring that championship to Phoenix. I just want to talk about that and where you are going forward and maybe having to pay the luxury tax to try to keep this team together.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I guess I would start with, you know, I was listening to the commercials, your commercials here on the break, and there was a Honda commercial that had the tagline, "I believe," that was part of a Phoenix Children's Hospital campaign, which, by the way, is a great organization. And, you know, I knew our next topic, and I guess I would start with that. I believe. I mean, I believe that we can bring a championship home to Phoenix. So, you know, I guess I would start with that. You know, as I said, you know, when I look at myself and I look at James and Monty and Chris and Book and DA and all our players, I mean, we're not anywhere near satisfied with where we are. And the thing I appreciate about those guys is they share the same vision with me that you got to constantly want to improve and create a demanding culture that strives for excellence. And I know James and Monty will lead that charge and we'll continue to do that going forward. You know, to answer the question directly, you know, about the tax, yeah, I mean, it's that's going to come with the territory here. You know, I'm not sure whether it's next season or the one after or whatever, but it's definitely coming, and we know that's coming. So we see ourselves as a taxpayer, and that's just part of what it's going to take to try to bring home a championship. But in terms of our progress and development, for one, I think our young players really showed well in the playoffs, better than I anticipated before the playoffs started. I mean, given their lack of playoff experience, you know, when I look at how Cam Johnson and Mikel and DA and Devin and Campaign and, you know, how the young players played, it was really impressive. And so that gives me a lot of hope for next season that they'll continue to grow. And now that they got a taste of things, you know, that's going to be good. If you look at where we kind of fell short against Milwaukee, you know, their players had a lot more experience. Their youngest player in their rotation was 26. Ours was 22. And their average player had about 700 NBA games under their belt. And ours had about 250.
Yeah, middle.
And so I think that extra year of experience is going to be real important for us going into next season, and our continued focus on player development, because we've got a good young core that can continue to grow. And that, I think, is, you know, that's what we start with and then try to move from there.
All right. You got a lot of pieces in place, and you got a lot of tough decisions to make. Now, I know certain things you can't go too deep into, but I'll start with Chris and what he's meant to the organization. People that I've spoken with in the organization say, we want him. He wants to be here. Fairly certain that it will get figured out and he will remain with the Phoenix Suns. Give me your thoughts on Chris.
I don't know. It was kind of interesting. I had some discussions with him after the season, and you know, I said, you know, you've only been a part of the organization for 9 months. So there's really not a lot of history here, but, you know, from a team perspective, It was my best season in 17 years, and it was your best season in 16 years.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot there to kind of keep the two of us together, the Suns and him. But, you know, he's got a decision to make and a business decision and a family decision and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision. And he'll have to decide whether he's going to become a free agent or opt in his contract. And, you know, we'll know that in the next, 3 days.
Do you know now what he's going to do?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. But what I do know is that if you'd asked me when we made the trade whether I thought this would even be a decision, I would have said no.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, I think he's got a decision to make. I mean, listen, he did what we thought he would do, you know, based on how he's played in the playoffs the last few years. And, you know, he was outstanding. And so, you know, are there other teams that would be interested and all that? Yeah, there probably is. So I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But I do think he really enjoyed being part of this team, and I know we loved having him on the team. So I hope he ends up back. I don't have control of that today.
Let me ask you one more on Chris, and then we'll move on to other things. Is there anything that would prevent you from keeping Chris? I mean, I know there's a rule he can't go past 3 years, but 1 year, 2 year, 3 years money, is there anything that would prevent you from wanting to have him back?
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is, but I think our first priority would be to try to get him back, but, you know, that'll depend on, you know, his agent and James and him and me and all that kind of stuff, so... You know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
But if the one follow up I would have on that, if you say he has a decision to make, and clearly he does, if he chooses to opt out, would it be unfair to classify it as the highest priority to make sure you bring him back if he does choose to opt out?
I think that'd be accurate. Yeah.
Okay. To call it the highest priority to make sure he's brought back? Okay.
Yeah, but then, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent, and we're in the same boat as everybody else.
Right. Of course. Of course.
So, you know.
I want to ask you about two of your young players who are eligible for extensions this offseason for the first time, in Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton. It can be tricky dealing with players in situations like that. If we're talking about, you know, kind of prioritizing and the list of things to do for the organization, this offseason, how high of a priority is it this offseason to deal with the long-term futures of DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges?
You know, listen, they're two key pieces for us. I think this was a great season for them. I think they both played really well. They both stepped up in the playoffs, and they both saw what they can do, and they also saw what they need to work on, and they also saw how hard it is physically and mentally to compete at that level for that long into the playoffs. And I think that opened their eyes. And so, you know, listen, they're both important assets. Whether a deal gets done with them this, you know, before this season starts or not, I don't really know. You know, none of those discussions have taken place or started to take place. And, you know, fortunately, they're both restricted free agents too. So, you know, we start with that. And, you know, that kind of gives us the upper hand in terms of dealing with them and being first to talk to them and all that kind of stuff. So
needless,
you know,
to
we'll
say,
we'll see where it goes. But
yeah.
I thought they both played very well, and I think they both can be key long-term pieces for our franchise.
So needless to say, the sense I'm getting is that maybe there are other boxes that need to be checked first, perhaps, before you address those. Is that
no? I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I'm just
okay.
Commenting on that this was an incredible experience for them, seeing what they can do and then what they need to do to get to that next level.
Yeah, I know I dropped 130 on a DeAndre Ayton jersey in the team shop for one of the playoff games because my wife loves DeAndre Ayton. So that, and actually had the same birthday, which was just a couple of days ago. So that she loved watching him. And you're right, he was amazing in the playoffs. I was so happy to see his development as one of the best bigs in the game. Campaign, man, what a find by James Jones. I mean, just the Lakers had no answer for him. And then he got hurt, and I think it affected him a little bit, but he was sensational in some of those playoff games and some of those playoff series. He's a free agent. he's earned the right to make as much money as he can. But I would imagine for you and the organization that he's also a priority to be able to have not just Chris Paul, but also have a quality backup point guard.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I would give, Jane signed him, but listen, I give James plenty of credit, but Monty actually came up with the idea because Monty had him in, I think when Monty was in maybe Oklahoma City, or I'm not sure, but Monty had him, and it didn't work out where he was, but Monty saw something in him and believed in him. And then he went overseas, paid his dues, and he came back and had a really good G League season where he shot the ball well. And that's when we picked him up. He had a lot of success with us, for sure. You know, he's a young player that hasn't made a lot of money, so I'm sure he's going to explore all his options and see what he can do. But I think he also has a fondness for the organization, and he knows that, you know, in Phoenix, he can do well. I mean, he fits well with the system, well with the players, well with the coaches, and our team and our system, it's able to bring out some of the best in him in terms of his style of play and his strengths. So, that's another one I'd say, you know, probably the nod's in our favor, but, you know, he's unrestricted. Yeah. You don't know.
Leave me with this. Outside of addressing and keeping the team intact and addressing the needs from within, going outside the organization, whether it's the draft or free agency or trades, what's one area that you expect to be addressed? Is it more length? Is it more shooting? Is it another tougher defender? What do you think is a priority for the organization when you look outside trying to bring somebody in?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest priority right now is some size. And with Dario, you know, having the knee surgery coming up next week and going to be out, you know, at least the regular season, we're going to need to fill in with some size. We need some size. We need some length. We probably need, you know, another big that can help roll to the basket, that can defend, that can block shots. You know, we're going to need some size. So if I had to say pick one, that would be it.
Well, Robert, we really appreciate the time. I mean, the reemergence of the fan base here was my biggest thrill. I loved seeing how the fans got behind this team and how much they loved this team. And it was a great season, one that we will remember forever. I always say this, my son's 12 and he's a baseball fan, but this is the team, and he went to games and he loves this team. And this is the team that he's going to remember when he's an adult more than any other team. And I think you brought a lot of great memories for a lot of fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and mothers and sons. So congratulations on a great season. And we can't wait to see what you guys do when the season kicks up in a couple of months.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. Yeah, we'll appreciate that, guys. And, you know, thanks for your support too. I'm happy to be on and happy to talk about, the season, and, you know, equally as excited, looking forward to what's coming around the corner in October.
Truly, congratulations on a great season. Robert, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Robert Sarver.
Okay, take care.
You bet. Managing partner of the Phoenix Suns, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline Coulter Infinity. Luxury cars, legendary service. Visit CoulterInfinity.com. Lots to unpack there. Lots to react to. That's what we're going to do next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, welcome back. It's the Burns and Gambo Show here on this Wednesday afternoon. Again, our thanks to Robert Sarver for making himself available to talk with us candidly as he could, about the state of the Phoenix Suns a week and a day after they were eliminated in the NBA Finals after this magnificent two-month run. We're going to parse through a lot of his words over the course of the show. It was a half-hour conversation, Gambo. What was your number one takeaway from what Robert Sarver had to say?
There's a lot, but I think I said to you, they're going to pay the luxury tax. They paid it before. They're going to pay it again. He doesn't know if it's in a year or 2 years, but it's coming. To keep this team together and to pay everybody that's going to be paid to keep them together, they're going to have to pay the luxury tax. The other thing is this sense that, you know, yeah, you should be so satisfied. They hadn't made the playoffs in 10 years. They made it to the NBA Finals. You could just tell that, like, he's still hurt that they didn't win at all. Still not satisfied with the great season, but not completely satisfied.
The question was, will you ever be okay with losing the finals given the season that you had before the finals?
No, that'll never come to pass.
And that's tough, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's just, you know, we won 14 games and we needed to win 16. So, you know, as I said, there's so much I can be proud of and excited about. You know, our employees, our marketing partners, our players, our coaching, and, you know, everybody, you know, did just an outstanding job. And, you know, as I said, at the same time, there's a lot of pride in the success that they had. And it made the experience really fun. And yeah, there was a lot of very high moments. But, you know, when you get that far and you can't win that last game, it is something that probably will never go away.
Robert Sarver, you mentioned the luxury tax. Here's Robert with us. We know that we're going to have to pay the luxury tax, and we're cool with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to come with the territory here. You know, I'm not sure whether it's next season or the one after, or whatever, but it's definitely coming, and we know that's coming. So we see ourselves as a taxpayer, and that's just part of what it's going to take to try to bring home a championship.
We see ourselves as a taxpayer because that's what it takes to win a championship. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. There you go.
We're gonna
be a taxpayer.
Those are fighting words right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Reese, you know, Devin Booker max contract. Chris Paul, you know, if he's expected to come back, which I believe he is, and then you look at DeAndre and Mikhail and whatever it takes. You know, now you want to win. Talked about that, you know, the sharks in the water and the blood encircling, and you get greedy. You got greedy. Yeah, you know, you beat the Lakers, okay, then you beat Denver, and you beat you got greedy. You wanted to win it all, and he's prepared to pay the tax.
My number one takeaway was the stuff about Chris Paul, and I'm kind of just chewing on what he said and how to interpret what he said, because it's very obvious they want Chris Paul around. I asked him, safe to say if he opts out of his contract, is bringing him back the highest priority? Yes, that is safe to say. It's our highest priority. But then, and I'm looking at Kellen Olsen's Twitter account because he's transcribing this and surely going to write about this for ArizonaSports.com. The question was there anything that would prevent the Suns from keeping Chris Paul? And Sarver said, I don't know. I'm sure there probably is. I think our first priority would be to try to get him back, but that'll depend on his agent and James and him and me and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess, right? And I think about that. I think about a couple of things. He kept saying, Chris's decision. And he's right. He's absolutely right. It is Chris's decision. He has got a player option that if he chooses to opt out of, he makes himself free and available to every single team in the NBA. Robert, the Suns have to be very careful about this, because if that's Chris's intention, they certainly can't give the appearance that they've already got some sort of prearranged deal with him if he does opt out. That's tampering. That's a no-no.
That's why I asked him, do you know? Do you know what's going to happen? Do you know what he's going to do?
He said, nope.
And he said, no.
Don't know.
I don't know what
don't
he's
going to
do.
Don't know what he's going to do, because you know what? They can't know. They're not. I mean, I guess if he were opting in, they could start to have those extension conversations if they want. But if Chris doesn't know what he wants to do, or if he's planning on opting out, the Suns technically aren't allowed to speak to him because that makes him a free agent. All I would say is if he opts out, I think this is just my opinion here. I think the organization has to be careful about how they frame their certainty about bringing him back, because if they make it sound like they know for sure they're bringing him back, it kind of looks like they were talking to him before he opted out of his contract, and they can't do that.
There's nothing that would prevent Chris Paul from telling James Jones during the season, man, I love it here. I want to come back. I'm going to make sure I want to be here. Nothing to prevent him from saying that. Nothing from the Suns, you know, saying, hey, we want him back. You know, we don't know if it's 1 year, but we want him back. And I think that's where I'm at right now. This is why I'm saying I think that it's, you know, that it's going to get worked out. My understanding is he wants to be here, and the Suns want him back.
Yeah.
And I expect that a deal will get done. And I don't think he's going to the Lakers or the Knicks or Miami or anywhere else. I think that it's going to get done. And I don't think that at any point during the playoffs of the season, Chris let his intentions be known that he really likes it here and he wants to be a part of this organization going forward. I don't think there's anything wrong
with
that.
And I think exactly the same thing. And I'm not trying to, I hope nobody interprets what I'm saying as me worried that Chris Paul's going to leave. I'm not. I'm just as confident about his return as you are. And I believe it is the organization's priority. All I'm saying is there's a fine line the team has to walk when it talks about how certain they are that Chris Paul's going to come back, because they can't make it look like they've been tampering with him, right? They can't make it look like they've been tampering with a free agent before he hits the market. If he opts out of his contract, if he opts out of that player option, my confidence level is still extremely high. He'll be back with the Phoenix Suns, and I would not worry about him opting out of his contract as a sign that he's not going to come back to the Phoenix Suns. Not at all. I'm just saying they have to be careful about how they say this so as to not look like they're doing anything they're not supposed to be doing.
Well, then I think he just said the right thing when I said, do you have any idea what he's doing? He said, no. I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah. Good stuff. A lot to get into with that, but we hope if you're a Suns fan, you enjoyed hearing about that. And as always, you know, I'll just mention this right now. We do have our FanDuel text line available right now at 620-620. You can text us your thoughts on what you heard from Robert Sarver today, and we'll read some of the best ones on the air if we get a chance. Text that to 620-620 right now. It's the FanDuel text line available to you at all times here on the Burns and Gambo Show. When we come back, it's been over 4 months since Patrick Peterson officially joined the Vikings. He just can't help himself from taking more shots at the Cardinals, can he?
Showing those true colors, Patrick, aren't you?
That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The day will come when we will not turn to the All Things Covered podcast from Patrick Peterson for content. Today is not that day.
Oh, boy.
I keep waiting for the day where, okay, we're kind of done with the All Things. Because, man, how many times over the last calendar year did we, hey, today on the All Things Covered podcast, Patrick Peterson said this, and he said that. And he felt like every week we were doing it. The day will come where we don't turn to that podcast for content, but today is not that day because we've got
Yeah, Patrick Peterson really concentrating on the Vikings and helping them become a better football team, isn't he? Patrick Peterson, you can tell, just so dedicated to the Vikings and helping them become a better team.
It's more fun to talk about your ex, though, and I think that's what we're seeing here.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah. How does your current girlfriend feel about that when you keep talking about your ex?
Yeah. Well, when you're bad-mouthing
your boyfriend.
Your current girlfriend loves it when you're bad-mouthing your ex-girlfriend, right? I mean, but unless you're spending too much time bad-mouthing your ex-girlfriend, it's like, hey.
Which, arguably.
Is starting to happen
kind of
here.
Kind of a lot of time.
Yeah. During the course of his All Things Covered podcast, Peterson said that GM Steve Keim fed him BS in the lead up to free agency. He used the word "I can't." Obviously, oh, here, do I have it here? Let me play this here for
this
you.
This is why I'm so kind of upset.
Uh huh.
Going through the whole process, you know, the deal, free agency, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
You know, we have our end of the year talk, this, that, and the other. Yeah, P, we're going to do everything we can, you know, to get you back, blah, 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 blah. Just all.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, February rolls around, March rolls around, telling me, oh, we got to wait till the new salary cap number comes out, this, that, and the other. Mind you, they signed J.J. Watt 2 weeks before free agency started.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know what the salary cap is, and I know when you got the numbers. So don't feed me. I'd rather you.
You just
want to
be straight up.
Right. I'd rather you be straight up with me versus you putting a blindfold over my head and leave me.
At the end of the day, you're a grown man. He's a grown man.
Right.
All right.
All right. First of all, let's just go over this. Okay, the market dictated.
Wait, before
okay,
we do,
another
can
one?
I, can I play part two?
Yeah, play part two.
And that gives you the whole enchilada to react to here. Hold on a second.
March coming around. I'm like, yo, you know, great sign and this, that, and the other. Can't wait for, you know, if we're going to make this happen, can't wait for my opportunity to come up. Didn't text me back. So I'm going on a vacation to the Bahamas to my vacation house, Albany. Yeah. Do I have my Albany hat on today? I don't. Going out to the Bahamas in Albany, going to spend some time with the kids, family, enjoy the beach, go a little snorkeling,
get you some good conch salad,
some fritters. And I hit him out like, yo, Steve, you know, I'm about to go. I ain't even want to say the man name. I'm like, we going on vacation, man. You know, I just want to know, you know, what the deal is because, you know, I want to enjoy my time with the family. Don't have to, you know, stress about this, that, and other. Still didn't text me back. So now that's when I got the picture. I was like, oh, yeah, it's over there. It's over there.
So basically, the long and the short of it is he feels like he was kind of ghosted by Steve Keim over the course of his free agency, the early days of free agency. Now, we've got the context. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Cardinals were always keeping Patrick Peterson in the fold for the potential that they weren't able to address the situation and get better. If they weren't able to get Malcolm Butler, they might have signed Patrick Peterson. So you don't tell Patrick Peterson, hey, I don't want you, because that was never the case. They were interested in bringing Patrick Peterson back if there was nothing else there that they could have. They addressed the issue. They got Malcolm Butler. They got a much better player than Patrick Peterson. Okay, they got a better player than Patrick Peterson. So you don't go to Patrick Peterson, hey, let me be honest with you, we don't want you. Okay, listen, there's a lot of guys in that locker room didn't want Patrick Peterson back, and that's the truth. They didn't want Patrick Peterson back. Okay, so but for the Cardinals to sit there and tell him, hey, I got to be honest with you, we don't want you back. That wasn't the case. I said this all through throughout the free agency. They're open to bringing him back at the right price. They're not going to pay him a lot of money, but they're open to bringing him back at the right price. The market bared out what Patrick Peterson was worth, and it was $7 million. That's what he was worth, was $7 million. Of course he wanted more than that, but he wasn't able to get it. But for him to want the Cardinals to say, we don't want you, they were not at that point. They were keeping their options open, but looking to see if they could better the team. Now, once they got Malcolm Butler, okay, well, then you don't need Patrick Peterson anymore. But if you didn't get Butler, it's possible that they would have done a deal with Patrick Peterson and brought him back for one more year.
Yeah, it really is, to Sarah's point at the beginning of the segment, it really is an interesting thing to keep talking about your ex when you should be focused on your current girlfriend, right? And at the clumsy metaphor that we're using. But, man, talk about the Minnesota Vikings, how excited you are to be there. Why so hyper-focused on how it went down with the Cardinals? Now, he did go on to say, once I signed with Minnesota, then I heard from Steve Keim.
I'm completely fine with that, but I would rather you just tell me this in February, January, when we had our exit meeting. I'd rather you just tell me this.
It's unrealistic.
So, boom, everything go through, hit my agent. I'm like, yeah, because my agent, me and Joe, we talking like, yo, hit him up, see if da-da-da-da, see what the feel is, this, that, and other. I'm telling my agent, like, yo, it ain't, like, it's dead silent, yo. Like, it ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, now free agency started. 2 days goes by. You know, I got a couple teams on the rope or whatever. And like I told you, I wanted to stay there. Like, mm-hmm. So I felt like my family was there. Like I was, you know, I feel like I've done a lot to be able to be given that respect. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Only player to go in that franchise, 8 straight Pro Bowls. You know what I mean? You know, and only 3 players in the league has done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me, Jim Brown, and Barry Sanders.
Ooh.
And when I got, so now I signed with my new team, Minnesota.
Yep.
Guess who called and texted me?
not the old GM.
You thought I picked it up?
Yeah. Reading his resume as if that is what the Cardinals should pay him for.
I want you to tell me in February whether you want me or not. That is so unrealistic. Like, it's so maybe, like, the answer is maybe. We might want you, but if we could upgrade the position, this is life. I mean, Patrick, get over yourself.
Certainly football.
This is life. If they can upgrade the position, you're gone. If they can't, you stay. Like, what you want, I want an answer in February. Well, what makes you deserve an answer in February? Look, you're a free agent. You know, if you want to go explore options, go explore options. Calais Campbell did it. And then he came back to the Cardinals, and they weren't able to match. They didn't match the offer.
Right.
Patrick Peterson wanting an answer in February is just so unrealistic. Tell me now if you want me or not. In February? The season just ended. They had to go through and see what was out there for them to better the position. And if they weren't able to get Malcolm Butler, it is very likely to go to Patrick Peterson. Okay, let's do a one-year deal and we'll bring you back.
Yeah.
So this, for him to want an answer in February, that's just not the way the world works, Patrick.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, there's no question the Cardinal season ended in disappointment last year. According to Cliff Kingsbury, that wound is still very, very fresh. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.